So, Robert, even if we have a rough year or two rough years weather-wise, we'll still be able to get our fuel. We don't have to worry about a major problem.
Right. All this is really doing is we're basically broadening the array of resources that are available. We'll still have the ones we have now, but we'll have a lot more. And furthermore, you see, if we do this, people will start making ethanol and methanol all over the world, both in the U.S., in South America, in the Caribbean, in Africa. So that if there's a drought in one place, there'd still be product produced elsewhere. You're just creating a much larger supply, and moreover, one that's not controlled by our enemy.
What are the other applications beyond automobiles?
Well, okay, first of all, with methanol, you can actually react methanol with itself to produce dimethyl ether, which is a completely clean-burning diesel fuel, so you can use that in trucks and ships and trains and things like that. You can also do certain kinds of methanol chemistry and produce jet fuel from it as well. You can also produce propylene and polypropylene and polyethylene, which are the basic of the plastics and synthetic fabric industries. You can do all that stuff.
Oil probably wouldn't go away entirely, right?
No, it wouldn't, but it would become cheaper because it would be in competition with something else.
And are we still pulling out enough oil from our own country that would be able to take care of some of those necessities?
Yes, that's right. In other words, what I said before is if we were producing that $90 billion worth a year of methanol, it would replace all the foreign oil. We'd still produce our own domestic oil for the rest. But also very importantly is we'd be defunding our enemies, okay? In other words, these madrasas that the Saudis have set up, they are the things that produce the 9/11 hijackers. They, you know, all these foreign fighters that are attacking our troops in Iraq, okay, the fanatics, the suicide bombers that are coming in from outside the country, most of them are Saudis and the rest of them are people from elsewhere in the Arab world that have been indoctrinated by the Saudis.
All right, but you're assuming, Robert, that we're going to not buy oil from these countries at all. Let's take us out of the equation. We go to ethanol, we go to methanol. What about the Chinese and what about the Russians and what about everyone else who manufactures or uses oil? They'll still be tapping into that, won't they?
They may, but first of all, a couple of points. Number one, if the United States mandated flex fuels, that your car has to be flex fuel to be sold in the United States, it means all the foreign manufacturers would change to flex fuel cars as well. So now you'd have millions of flex fuel cars in Japan, in Europe, okay, in places like that, which would mean that, first of all, they would become a market for American ethanol and methanol, as well as for African and South American ethanol and methanol. So you would be cutting into oil sales into Europe, into Japan, okay, all over the world. Secondly, okay, here's another point. I mean, let me just illustrate this. Okay, right now, Iran is developing atomic bombs.
Okay? Well, we think so.
Yeah, well,
let's just say we think so.
Okay, we think so. I think so. A lot of people think
so. I think so, but okay. We don't know, but we think so.
All right.
So.
Now, okay, the United States can't do anything about it or is not doing anything about it, really, okay, because if they were to strike Iran, Iran could turn off their oil, okay? What they're basically, or they could say if we were to strike them, things could just get chaotic and the oil supply could be disrupted through anarchy, okay, one of the two.
True.
Okay, so therefore, it's like, they're using the fact that they have a glass jaw to stop us from hitting them. Now, if we were not dependent upon their oil, their glass jaw, instead of being their shield, becomes their vulnerability. And we could tell them, look, if you don't shut down your nuclear weapon program, we're going to strike your oil field. Okay? And that's the end of their nuclear weapon program, period. It's done. Okay? They're completely vulnerable. So the fact that we don't need their oil, the fact that we won't need the Saudi oil, means that our leverage over them becomes enormously increased. They cannot use the threat of cutoff as a blackmail against us. You know, we've done effectively nothing to stop the Saudi funding of terrorism. You know, Bush had met with the Saudi prince in December 2001, a few months after 9/11. He said you should stop that. A couple of months later, they had a telethon in Saudi Arabia to raise funds for suicide bombing. I mean, they're not listening to us. They say, you know, go take a hike. You know, we're the ones calling the shots. Well, if we were not dependent upon their oil, they would not be calling the shots anymore, and they would have to listen.
Well, that's true. That is true. So what's it going to take? What's the mechanism to get this in place?
The mechanism to get it in place is simply for Congress to pass a law mandating that all new cars, say starting the 2009 model year, whether of domestic or foreign manufacturer, if it's sold in the U.S., and if it uses an internal combustion engine, whether it's a regular car or a hybrid, it's got to be flex fuel. If you do that, then by 3 years later, 30% of the cars in this country would be flex fuel cars. You'd have E85 and M50 pumps going up everywhere. You'd have an enormous gear up in production of these alcohol fuels. You'd be starting to you'd be sending the price of oil down, and you'd be sending it down for good. And if we don't do this, okay, let's take it the other way. All right? You know, $3 a gallon is just the beginning here.
I know.
Right now there's 800 million cars in the world. 170 million of them are in the United States. Okay? In 20 years, there's going to be over a billion cars in China alone. And so if we don't convert to a different fuel supply, if we don't create a broader resource and, moreover, one that can be made elsewhere than the Middle East, okay, then the price of oil is not going to be $3 a gallon. It's going to be $30 a gallon.
To say nothing about suffocating because of the emissions.
That's right. Now, that's another thing. The alcohol fuels are less polluting than gasoline in terms of conventional pollution. They also, to some extent, mitigate the greenhouse effect, because the alcohol fuels, if they come from plants, all the CO2 that when you burn that fuel was drawn out of the atmosphere by the plant in the first place. So, in fact, you are reducing the total amount of greenhouse gas without shutting down industry. On the other hand, you're actually building up industry. It's the opposite of the Kyoto approach, where they try to stop economic growth to restrict greenhouse emissions. Here, we'd be accelerating economic growth and restricting greenhouse emissions.